Thank you. Good evening and welcome. I'm Sean Brenham, President of the State Board of Education. I call the July 18th regular meeting to order. It is 5:01 PM. The meeting is open to the public in person in the cabinet room of the Townsend Building in Dover, Delaware, and electronically via WebEx. State Board of Education published the public meeting notice and the meeting information on January 11th on the state public meeting calendar site. Thank you for your patience if we run into any technology issues as we simultaneously conduct this meeting in person and electronically. Today's agenda contains three opportunities for public comment. There is time allotted for public comment on the draft Perkins 5 plan, then on regulations, and then general public comment near the end of the meeting. Sign-up sheets are available on the table by the door. If you did not previously sign up to provide public comment via email or logged in via the URL, please type in your name, organization, and comment topic in the chat box now. If you're only participating via phone and wish to make verbal public comment, please log in via the meeting URL. As required by statute, this meeting is being recorded and the recording will be available to the public on our website within 7 business days of this meeting. As a reminder, when voting on items for action, I will ask all those in favor say aye, and we only do a roll call vote if there is a dissent. This evening, I am pleased to introduce our two new confirmed board members, Mr. Harvey Keaton and Dr. Meredith Griffin. Gentlemen, we'd like to welcome you to the board. We look forward to working with you in the years to come, and you'll find us a very challenging, diverse, talkative, you name it, we're it, but we're here for one thing, and that's to make sure the state of Delaware education moves forward and is number one in the nation. But again, thank you for volunteering. I'm going to say volunteering and taking these positions up. After the roll call, we'll give you an opportunity to share a few words from each of you. Ms. LaFace, please call the roll.
Ms. Keaton?
Present.
Ms. White?
Present.
Dr. Griffin?
Present.
Mr. Kenton?
Present.
Mr. Muzika?
Present.
Reverend Powell?
Present.
Mr. Rushdan?
Present.
Ms. Stevens?
Present.
And Dr. Zava?
Present.
Thank you. I will let Mr. Harvey Keaton, we'll let you do your talk a little bit at first now.
Okay. My name is Harvey Keaton. I'm from Milford, and Sussex County side of Milford. And I retired from the state legislature back in 2018. Just kind of in the wrong side of the aisle to have any power, so I wanted to go back to college, get a degree. So I did that. I graduated in 2021, and here I am today. So I had the pleasure of working with this young lady somewhat when she was with DSEA. Dr. Holliday, and with he and Dr. Bunning, a number of things. Looking forward to participating in this new challenge. Thank you.
Thank you. And next, we have Dr. Griffin.
Well, glad to be here. My name is Meredith Griffin. Professionally, I'm a pastor. I pastor a local church in Castle County, Delaware. About 3 years ago, I left the Christina School District Board of Education. I was serving as board president. Didn't know I'd be back in a role like this so soon, but when the governor called and asked, would I be willing to serve? Because I think education is so important for not just our state, but for every young person in the state, I said, absolutely. So I'm glad to be here and hope to be able to contribute in the years to come.
Thank you. Great. And we're glad to have both of you. And I'll also say it's very nice to have everybody here in person for the first time in, I don't know when, since COVID, some before COVID, I'm sure. But again, thank everybody for making the effort and thank the two gentlemen that we appreciate you stepping up and working with us. Okay. At approval of the agenda, the board's agenda was posted on January 11th and amended on January 16th. If there are no further changes to the agenda, is there a motion to approve the amended agenda for today's meeting as presented? Mr. Rushdan's made a motion. Need a second, please.
Second.
Reverend Powell's made a second. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Approval of the December 14th regular meeting minutes. The December 14th regular meeting minutes were provided to the board for review in advance of this meeting. If there are no additions or deletions, is there a motion to approve the December 14th regular meeting minutes as presented?
So moved, Stevens.
Stevens made a motion. I need a second.
Wait for a second.
All those in favor Any discussion? All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions?
Reverend Powell.
Reverend Powell was absent for that meeting. The motion carries. Thank you. Next is presentations. It's Perkins Plan Update. This is for information. John Wickert, the Director of Career and Technical Education and STEM Initiatives, and Joanna Stive, the Executive Director of Delaware Workforce Development Board, will present on the Perkins Plan Update.
Nice to see you all. Thank you very much for having Joanna and I this evening. We're going to present on the combined Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act and Perkins 5 State Plan. You got a lot of information ahead of time. These are very nuanced, extremely long federal programs. And so we're going to keep it at a very high level for you. Our purpose today is just to bring you up to speed on where these processes are and what you can expect over the next couple months as these go out for public comment. Eventually, the Perkins plan will come back to the state board because you are the eligible agency. It'll come back to you for approval before it's submitted to the U.S. Department of Education. So tonight's just high level overview. Want to make sure you're up to speed on everything and then obviously answer any questions you may have. Sound good?
Sounds great.
All right. I'm going to hand to Joanna, who's my counterpart at the Delaware Workforce Development Board. She handles the WIOA portion of her combined state plan. Yeah, Secretary Halladay.
John, we ever had someone come in like Joanna in the past? Is this the first that we've done this? This is fantastic. Joanna, great to see you. Worked with Joanna over the years in various positions, no more important, by the way, than when she was a parent, Brandywine, and we worked together. But I just want to commend you on, you know, the presentation that you're about to share with the state board, preparation for reg approval, but also for, you know, working with Joanna to come in and do this presentation also. That's collaboration at its best. So thanks.
Thank you, sir.
It could be use of error.
It's out of
Again, my name is Joanna Stive. I'm the executive director of the Delaware Workforce Development Board. And so probably from just the comments that we're just had, many of you may not know about the board potentially. But we are in existence here in the state of Delaware because of the Workforce Innovation Opportunity Act. We are a 53-member board, which Dr. Halladay is a member of. Majority of our board are business leaders within the state. And basically, the board's responsibility for the state is to set the vision of the workforce system for the state as a whole. So we do that on behalf of the governor. So as you can imagine, it's really important for us to be in close collaboration with career and technical education, as well as our education department as well. When you think about workforce development, that's not just job training. Workforce development is creating a pipeline of well-skilled individuals that can land in a position with the businesses here in Delaware that have the knowledge, skills, and abilities for those businesses to thrive in the communities that we have in the state of Delaware. So what is the state plan? So basically the state plan is just that we have to set the vision for the workforce system. We have to do this every 4 years. So the state plan is due on March 4th. And the state plan has our six core partners. So WIOA has six core partners. So that's youth, adult, dislocated worker, Wagner Pizer, which is career services, adult education and literacy. What am I missing? Division of Vocational Rehabilitation, sorry, Title III. So those six partners are what they call the core partners. So what we do here in the state of Delaware is a couple of years back, we decided to submit a combined state plan. So when we submit a combined state plan, we add additional partners. So who we've chosen as our combined partners are Career and Technical Education and Jobs for Veterans State Grant. So basically what we have to do for this four-year plan is, again, we have to set the strategies for job training, for workforce development. We have to ensure that individuals with barriers to employment are able to enter the job market and compete in the job market. So it's not just enter, but competing and doing really well and creating an environment where they can thrive and have a career, not just a job, but a career. So what we really are trying to do is really align strategies around education, around economic development, around all of those workforce partners, and those are within state agencies, but also outside with community-based organizations, our higher educational institutions, our adult vocational agencies. So all of those we're trying to sort of bring together under one umbrella and have movement forward as a state. The other thing that's really interesting about this state plan is all of this additional federal dollars that are coming into the state. It is a requirement of my department to sort of understand where all those bipartisan infrastructure dollars are going and what they're utilizing those dollars for in terms of workforce development. So that's something additional that has not happened in the past. So this is every 4 years, every 2 years we do a modification. That's pretty small. So what we did over the last year is we really put four strategic priorities in place for the system. One is prioritizing sectors. The next one's raising the bar, increasing alignment, and expanding opportunities. And I'll just go into this a little bit more. So this is on our website. If anybody wants to dive into our strategic plan a little bit deeper, I know we don't have a lot of time tonight. But what we're looking at in terms of prioritizing sector is just that when we train or educate an individual here in the state of Delaware, the ultimate goal is that they have a job at the end of that training, and not just a job, but a career and with the opportunity to advance in that career. So we want to look at high growth, high demand occupations. What we did as a board this go around in our strategic committee is to not only look at the high growth and high demand, but we also want to look at what's enabling sectors. So those are your early childcare, your home health care, those kind of sectors that are necessary for other people to go back to work. And the second thing that we want to look at, in addition to the high growth, high demand, the current, is what are our emerging industries? So what's coming down the pipe? We need to be prepared for that. The next one we are calling raising the bar. So we know that about 60% of jobs by 2030 are going to need some kind of certification, advanced education beyond a high school diploma. So we want to make sure that our adult population here in the state of Delaware has that. We're at about 51% at best estimates. It's really difficult to track certifications because there's so many certifying bodies, but we want to make sure that we're raising the bar with education and training beyond high school with our adult population. Increasing alignment. So this is really making sure that the knowledge, skills, and abilities that we're teaching, not only in our high schools, but also beyond in our educational programs, they do align with our business partners. And so how do it's a lot like your advisory councils that you have at the district level. So we want to make sure that our business partners are informing us as to what they need, so then we can then inform our partners as to what the needs are. This also increasing alignment is really how do we increase work-based learning experiences? How do we increase opportunities for individuals to get that experience prior to them graduating from a particular program or from high school? So there's a lot of alignment there in terms of DOE. And the last one is we know that when you put a racial or a gender lens on our data, that economic and our educational opportunities are not fair and equal. So we want to make sure when we're looking or when we're releasing funding that we're really sort of pointing out who we want to target. Is it re-entry? Is it low income? Like, who are we targeting and why? And we want to make sure that we're increasing that opportunity for everybody. So those are our high level executive summary. Like I said, we have a full plan on our website. I think that's really all I had. Just to keep it high level.
Okay. If you can imagine, now that triggered everything. So if you can imagine, the workforce board is cutting that broader direction. And then I want to think, how do you think of career technical education, what we affectionately call the farm team of the future workforce? So these students coming up through our career technical education programs are coming through programs that meet those parameters for middle and high skill, middle and high demand, middle and high wage, right? And then those credentials that Joanna mentioned, we're making sure are in our secondary and our post-secondary programs. Students can access those programs, they can move through those successfully, right? Get that work experience and then move into the world of work. So while you have two separate plans, those plans have to be in very strict alignment, to the point where when two federal agencies look at the two plans, they can say, oh, you're using the same definitions and strategies in both. In terms of the state board, you all, you're the authorizing body for us for the Perkins portion of the combined plan. So what ends up happening, and we'll go into this a little more detail, but very quickly, is our portion goes out for comment. It has to get whatever gets approved by the board in terms of the narrative or our broader structure of our plan has to be written into the WIOA plan. Right? And then I have to go after hers is submitted. We have to finish the second half of the Perkins plan, which is around federal accountability targets. And then I come back to it and submit the whole thing. So there's this weird sequencing where we do step one to get Joanna across the line. And then I come back to you for a second time for approval for the last piece so I can then go get our portion through federal approval. That's pretty easy, right? And we're both doing this for the first time.
Yes.
Awesome. I'm going to stay at a very high level and move very quickly. But essentially, when we talk about Perkins 5, we're talking about the Strengthening Career Technical Education for the 21st Century Act. In Delaware, career technical education, synonymous, the same things. That law drives the programmatic elements that you're seeing in our high schools, our middle schools, our high schools, and our post-secondary institutions, where this funding is going. It's really that simple. And you can see in the last bullet, these are all statements you're familiar with, credentials, certifications, and licenses, apprenticeship, right, and degrees. So we're trying to move folks into those to earn those types of credentials so that they can have success in the workforce. Very quickly, this is just kind of a graphic of what I explained earlier. So you have educators and employers, they come together. Students get this learning, this work experience, they earn a credential, they move into the workforce. And then if Joanna and I do our job right, someone that's in the workforce can re-enter those educational programs and either upskill or cross-skill so they can move seamlessly as the economy changes. That's where this alignment is critically important. I'm not going to go through all the slides. That's why you got them ahead in case you wanted to dive into some of the pieces. The big ones. So essentially what we're talking about in terms of federal dollars, we are technical education is $6 million annually, roughly, changes every year by small amounts. Almost all of that funding goes to our schools through formula allocation. Right? So not much of it stays within the department. It's a very small, it's accidentally $400,000. That entire amount stays within the department. Everything else goes to schools. And then the state plan we're developing here will take us through June 30th of 2028. So we're on these four-year cycles with the opportunity to modify halfway through. Pretty simple. If you were to read through the 70-plus page draft document that is currently out for public comment, which is the state plan, it really boils down to these five bullets. Essentially, I changed very little from what is in the current plan. The reason is the current plan came into effect, the pandemic hit, and then we had all the turnover in the Career and Technical Education Office, and we did not complete what was in the previous plan. And what was in the previous plan in consultation with CTE directors, he said, listen, we want to stay on the course. We want to finish what we started. We don't want to introduce and overhaul things. So there's really nothing new in the plan. So right, equity and program quality, those are huge, right? That's at the heart of Perkins. Stay the course there. Updating and expanding middle grades CTE programming, that's a huge priority. You've seen things from the governor's office in that respect. As Joanna said, student participation in immersive work-based learning, most people refer to that as internships, right? We want to see more students on the job. And then we have an alternative post-secondary formula. Basically, we direct post-secondary funding towards institutions that serve the highest number of economically disadvantaged concentrators. So it's part of that equity piece. It is in nauseam level of detail in the state plan, should you want to read through that, or if you want to reach out, I'm happy to explain it in more detail, but it's formula based. The only real update in the plan, and this is required, are accountability measures. The measures are the same as in the previous plan. All that's been updated are the targets we're trying to reach. So if you were to pull that up in the public comment materials, you won't see anything different in that spreadsheet other than the numbers. And the numbers that are proposed meet the federal requirements, right? And so there's some math behind that that's spelled out in the state plan. those are out for comment as well. People can tell us if they think we're too aggressive, not aggressive, or all of those things. So there's really no surprises at all. There's no kind of shift in direction that's being proposed.
Quick question on that last. So are you saying in terms of the prior plan, there was the shifting to bring those performance standards in alignment with what you see sort of more common in the federal landscape? Just help me kind of understand where the tweak was.
Yeah, that's a great question. I apologize if it wasn't clear. So the measures in terms of what we're being held accountable for, those did not change. So things like graduating on time, proficiency in ELA and math and science, those are the same. The percentage of PTE students that meet those measures, that benchmark, mm-hmm. that's what's changing. It's basically being updated mm-hmm. to reflect a growth trajectory based on where we are now and where we want to be in 4 years. If at the state level, we don't hit those targets in any given year, so let's say one of the targets is 73%. If we don't hit that target, then our office has to create an improvement plan for how we're going to address that statewide. And then the other thing that happens is each school district, they're held accountable to the same metrics. They set their own targets. If they don't meet those targets, they go on an improvement plan that our office monitors. So really what's changed, not the targets themselves, it's the level of success we hope to achieve in each of the next 4 years.
Which seems to be more ambitious than what was represented in the project.
I would say that's a very fair statement. I think what I've proposed is more aggressive than what we proposed in the previous plan. I think the reason for that is a lot's happened in the last 4 years. We've updated some programs. We're seeing the effects of the pandemic, while they are there, they're not as intense as they were when we were in the throes of the pandemic. So what I really did is I went and looked at our performance pre-pandemic, which was much higher than it's been over the last 4 years, and I put us back on a trajectory that's similar to where we were before the pandemic. That's essentially the core behind the rationale is if we performed at a 70% level before the pandemic hit, right? We need to get back to that juncture as fast as we possibly can.
Thank you.
That's a great question. And again, I apologize that I didn't explain it clearly the first time. Anything else on that wrong here? I'm almost done. I outlined for you all kind of the timeline and agenda so you would have it if you need to reference it. And the big five here. So everything is out for public comment. It went out for comment on January 4th. It will be up until February 8th in terms of the narrative. That's because the website went down for 4 days, so I needed to add 4 more days, so we'd be out for the full amount. Then the narrative will come down, and those targets that we were just discussing will stay up for an additional 30 days on their own because those have to be out for 60. So your narrative has to be out for 30. Your performance targets have to be out for 60. Yes, Secretary Holiday, I had the same reaction when I read through everything. So that's why it feels a little bit disjointed. We're collecting comment through two primary mechanisms. One is a survey, right? So folks can click on the survey. There's a whole bunch of background materials, pretty much the same ones you all received. They go through and answer some structured questions, but we'll receive that. The other is they can just email. They can send an email and say, I think this is great, right? So these are two primary mechanisms that we're soliciting feedback through, along with a lot of material. And then once we have all of those, they will, and I just read this, they'll come in and we will basically compile all of that. And then the next time I'm before you, what I'll do is say, here's what the comments are. You know, I've proposed these changes to the state plan as a result of the comments. We'll look for your approval in that narrative section so Joanna can submit her piece. And then you'd see me again in another 30 days so we can talk about those performance levels that you asked about. That is essentially it. If there are questions, my contact on the Perkins portion, right? Obviously, if you have questions about WEL, I'm happy to connect you with Joanna. But on the Perkins portion, there's my contact information, or Kathleen is more than appropriate to go to, and then she'll get it to me and we'll make sure it gets addressed.
Well, I was just gonna say, there is a third way that you can comment. Once the full WEL, my hand is up, there'll be the comments to the email that I have. So,
so we'll put this separately. Can I make a comment on here? So what may happen is there may be a comment in the WIOA portion that's really about Perkins or would affect what would happen on the Perkins side. And so we have to stay connected and we're looking at each other's comments and then we're adjusting as we're moving through the public comment site. It's fun. There's a lot of moving parts. So we appreciate your patience as we move through it. And I apologize if it was at too high of a level. But that's why I want to make sure you had everything ahead of time and you knew this was coming with a full month, right? In the event we need to follow up. So you don't feel rushed. Any questions I can answer?
Dr. Wichter, thank you for that presentation. I've had the benefit of serving on the board when we first initiated the first Perkins plan, the one that's in place now. Had a little experience work with Luke. I think I guess he's going on to it was a superstar, a rock star, they called him here in the department. We attended a conference in Washington back then, and I think it was a national conference sponsored by NASB. And they had all regional other states that were able to react and push back and critique particular plans and look at opportunities that were best practices. Do we anticipate, or you know, there's a conference that's like that now?
I'm not aware of a conference that is like that. What is happening is, so Advanced CTE is our state director's organization for CTE. And so they have a community of practice for state directors specific to these plans. And so what we're doing right now is we're meeting about every 2 weeks and we're all discussing what's in our plans and the types of comments that we're receiving.
Okay.
And so I'm getting line of sight nationally through that mechanism right now.
That was very helpful for us to really see what the Board of the States and other innovative states and boards were doing. The other thing I had a question about was when we talk about equity and we talked about stakeholders. Do you consider any grassroots community-based organizations as stakeholders as we develop this plan? I'm really talking from the lens of reentry, because I know we provide services for Ferris and other adult individuals who are reentering that have barriers to employment. And so how does that conversation in the fuller context work within the plan? And how do we get to that population to better serve them?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I think there's a few elements to this. One is, you know, for those of you that don't know, Reverend Powell has been instrumental in the design of the post-secondary system of CTE, especially the equity agenda that's in there. So Maureen Whalen serves in the post-secondary cadre, who you've worked with her previously. She's also on the board for Joanna.
Okay.
And so that's how we're connecting into, say, DSTYF and the correctional institutions for those folks and for their access to programs and access to funds. So Maureen is providing input into the narrative for both of the plans for that specific population. In terms of community-based organizations and some of those other partners, our office works very closely with them. Many of them are part of program advisory committees at the local level. And so we're in regular engagement with a number of community-based organizations. So we're regularly working with Rodell, your United Way of Delaware, and then some of the other organizations that are more close to the LEAs, we're bridging into those spaces as well. Where I would say the process this time around is a bit different from the last time, is we didn't receive the timeline for this comment period until a couple of months ago. And normally the WIOA timeline would be similar to the Perkins timeline, but the WIOA is in March and the Perkins is in May. So if we were in a state that didn't have a combined plan, we would have had until May to move through the process. Unfortunately, because we're a combined plan state and labor didn't release their timelines until a month or so ago, I actually had to move up the entire Perkins timeline in order to meet the WIOA timeline. And neither one of us knew that was going to be the case, and neither did the U.S. Department of Education. So in total, 9 states that use combined plans, we all got rather blindsided. And so I would openly admit, Reverend Powell, that it is not as, directly engaging with the community as what it felt before.
Mm-hmm.
My hope is that because we didn't make any changes to the plan this time versus last time, that really robust community-based input that we saw in the last plan is, right, is still reflected in the plan because we're not making those types of any substantive changes. What I'd really like to do, if I'm being really transparent here, is you know, see some of the initiatives under their funded with ESSER funds and some of the other things that are out there in the world of education settle out a little bit and take time to speak. You know, Dale Matusevich over there and I, we've been talking about how can we better support students with disabilities and embed that structurally into the Perkins plan. So what we've been talking about doing is taking 2 years. We have that modification window, being really thoughtful, going out and engaging partners in a really powerful and meeting way over a longer period of time, as opposed to trying to jam and rush it into the compressed timeline, because we have that option to modify at any point. I would also say that there's a certain element of having only been in my role for a short period of time, there's a lot I'm learning about the system. And I'm also a little hesitant to make a big bet or to make a big change around things where I don't know as much as it would be beneficial for me to know, even in terms of putting some of those things in front of community partners that would be changes. That might be more than I really appreciate
that. Thank you for the response.
We do need to do a better job of getting more grassroots as we move forward.
I would just think that we would need to be intentional if we're really going to drive results and impact. So if to the extent that we can identify what your short window of organizations that are really focused on reentry, Hope Commission, all other organizations have the input with regards to the submission of the plan so we can really be intentional and hit the target where we're really trying to, that needs the most support.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd encourage everybody, right? If there's anybody that you know that you would want to put eyes on this and comment, please share it. We're doing the same through our office to all the different partners we work with. And if there's an organization you'd like me to come speak with to solicit the input, I'm more than happy to do that. Please introduce me and point me in those directions.
Maybe a place where we could really could serve a good platform is the Neola leadership.
Yeah.
But also we have countywide meetings, and a lot of our what we call our additional partners are those community-based organizations. I do believe there's several nonprofits that focus on reentry that come to those meetings as well. So we could definitely get that out to those. But if you look at the common elements, once we get that up, and I'll send it to John the link so he can send out. The common elements of our state plan is basically that it's how do all of these pieces sort of work together. And so there's a lot of language around reentry and what we're doing to serve that population in this section.
And if, as you're looking through the draft plan that was put out for comment from Perkins, there's actually a direct link into the Workforce Forward Strategic Plan if you wanted to see the full plan. That'll give you some additional line of sight.
Thank you. Any more questions?
One other question. This it might be one that you maybe say we'll get back to you. But what does a effective Perkins plan look like for your side of the table, for folks who are in the field? How does that show up for folks who are actually actively in the workforce? What does that look like? And you've talked about some themes, thematic things, but I'm just curious to say, how do we measure success at a very high level for realistically?
So for me, I think we identified it in the beginning, which is the collaboration of partnership. John and I are in constant communication on the initiative that's happening under CTE and how that benefits actually the workforce development board and the work that we do, and vice versa. So, we develop high demand occupation lists, his team uses that list. He's got some initiatives that we're going to probably, work into some of the work that we do. So some of the, personally, the strategic priorities that we put in place, some of the ways that the Perkins is going to be just that's so incredibly important is, the certification attainment. So if we're going to get our adult population to achieve certifications beyond a high school diploma, if we can have every student or as many students as possible graduate high school with some kind of industry recognized or valuable certification, we're going to move that bar a lot quicker. So that to me is a huge piece of the Perkins piece feeding into the overall wheel. The work-based learning experiences as well, so that's where there's a huge collaboration as well. There is a huge need from our business partners to have individuals that are going to come to work that are ready to work. And so those are the soft skills that are necessary, but also some of the hard skills. We recently did a survey of some businesses, and three of the top four hard skills that they identified that were lacking in their job applicants were overall basic computer literacy, Word, and Excel. That's huge for John's team to understand, our K-12 partners to understand. And that seems to me like a simple fix that we could potentially do. So the continuum of learning in your high school to post-secondary, it's like this is foundational and it's so incredibly important. And then to be able to just seamlessly feed into post-secondary, whatever that path is. That's the answer.
It was answer plus, okay. Which I appreciate. Thank you.
Are there any further questions or comments from board members? All right, then public comment on draft Perkins plan update. Time has been set aside at this point in the agenda for public comment on the draft Perkins plan. Ms. Smith, is there anyone signed up for public comment on the Perkins plan?
There is no one signed up for comment on the Perkins plan this evening.
Thank you. And thank you for your presentation. And we look forward to hearing from you again in the future.
Thank you very much.
Okay, good to see you.
Next is charter school updates. It is for information. The charter school office has provided a written report. Leroy Travers, director of the charter school office, is here this evening. Are there any questions from the board for Mr. Travers? All right. I think you're good to go, Mr. Travers. Thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.